Well, listen, over the next few weeks, I'm going to do a little series and kind of do an overview of the Bible. It's not going to be in depth. Obviously, it would take a long, long time. But I want to give an overview of the Bible to help people understand kind of the general theme of the Bible. You know, how does it all fit together? Sometimes you might open up a scripture like, or a book, like the book of Nahum, and you wonder, what in the world is that even about? You know, I'm not sure I can even pronounce the name, and you start reading through it, and it's kind of like, oh my goodness, what is this even talking about? And there's probably many parts of the Bible like that, especially Old Testament scriptures, that people aren't really sure how it all fits into the big picture. And I'm hoping that at the end of this little series I'm going to do, you'll have at least some idea. I'm not going to say that you're going to know everything the Bible has to say, but I think you'll begin to have a general understanding of how everything kind of fits together, and maybe it will encourage you to search it out in a deeper way or a different way than you have. This scripture in Luke 24, verse 32 says, this is the story of the road to Emmaus, where two disciples, after Jesus rose from the dead, were walking to Emmaus, and they were discouraged. I mean, Jesus had just died, And these guys had heard that he rose from the dead, but nobody saw him. They heard these angels were down there at the tomb, but they were discouraged because they had hope that Jesus was the Messiah, and it seems like their hopes were all dashed. And as they're walking along the road, Jesus came upon them, and the Bible says they didn't recognize him. Somehow, maybe God blinded their eyes to see who he really was, but it was the resurrected Christ who was walking alongside these guys, And he was kind of playing with them a little bit, like they were saying, man, I can't believe you're the only person who never heard about what's been going on here in Jerusalem these last few days. And Jesus is like, what? Like, what's been happening? You know, so he had this little thing going on with these guys. But one thing he did is he began to open up the scriptures to them and show them from the scriptures. Now, when we think of the scriptures, we think of the Bible we have today. But back then, the scriptures excluded the New Testament. None of this was part of that. And so Jesus was pulling from the Old Testament scriptures, and he showed these guys all about himself. And I would love to have those tapes. You know, what did Jesus say to these guys? But I love what it says at the end of the story. It says, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road and when he opened to us the scriptures? He opened the scriptures. In other words, these guys, most of these guys probably knew the scripture. I mean, it was part of a Jewish culture. The kids would learn at least the Torah as a young child, even memorizing large parts of it. And yet somehow, they were blind to the reality of what those scriptures speak about. They didn't see the true message. They didn't see what God was pointing to, what the plan of God was laid out throughout all those scriptures. They were blind to it somehow. And the Bible tells us here that Jesus opened to them the scripture. He gave them understanding. And when that happened, their hearts burned within them. And what I really want... And why I'm even doing this series of messages, I want our hearts to burn for the Word of God. That we open up the book of Nahum or Numbers or Leviticus, those ones that we oftentimes avoid, and we see something in there that we've never seen before, that Jesus would open up our understanding, open up our mind to see and understand and grasp. What is he saying? What is the message of the Bible in such a way that our hearts would burn? Just like, oh man, I just want to know more. I want to learn more. This is where the hunger for God's word comes from. I know so many followers of Jesus that have such a hard time getting into the word. It just seems it's too many things that are too difficult or hard to understand. And sometimes we just avoid it. We just stay away from it. And my hope is that you'll at least see a general picture of what the Bible is all about, but more than that, that you would begin to get into it and allow the Lord to open your heart and your understanding to the point that your heart burns when you see what the scriptures are all about. My next point up here is that some parts of the Bible are difficult to understand. How many have found that to be true? Let me see your hand. How many have found all parts of the Bible are difficult to understand? No, there's some parts that are pretty easy, but there's a lot of difficult things in there. And so it says here in Romans 15:4, you know, what do we do when something's difficult is we can avoid it. We just stay away from it. We don't want to spend time with it. It's like, I'll never understand it. I just can't grasp it. So we avoid it. We find most of us have our favorite. We can almost open our Bible and it falls open to Psalm 23 or, you know, Matthew 28 or whatever your favorite chapter or verse might be, favorite book. But there's probably parts of our Bible that still have the gold on the pages because we've never touched them, you know, because it's like they're difficult, hard to understand, so we avoid them. But look what it says here. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. And this is actually, when you read earlier in Romans 15 here, he's actually quoting something from the Psalms. And he's saying, I want you to know whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction. That through endurance, and how many of you know it takes endurance? Through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. See, somehow, God is saying to us here, these things that were written in the former days, they have a purpose. I don't want to avoid them. I don't want to stay away from them. I want to somehow say, Lord, help me see what's here. Open my eyes so my heart burns so I can begin to experience this hope, this encouragement, this endurance, and this instruction that you're talking about here. It's a beautiful thing. 1 Corinthians 10:11. In this portion of the scripture, he's quoting and speaking about the children of Israel and their journeys through the wilderness and how they disobeyed God and began to worship the idols. And he says, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. You know, we're those who are living in the end of the ages, and the Lord is saying, hey, there's things written down in the scripture that are for you. They're for your example. They're for your instruction. And so if our mode of operation is typically to avoid large portions of scripture because we think I'll never understand it, we might miss out on some of those instructions, some of that encouragement, some of that hope that God wants us to have just because of the things that he's chosen to write down for us. Another thing we do, if we don't understand parts of the Bible, is we misinterpret them, or we misapply them. We don't apply them correctly to our life, or we take them out of context. 2 Peter 3, verse 15 says this, count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. So Peter's saying, hey, you know, Paul has written some letters. We have those in the New Testament, the epistles. Largely the epistles are written by Paul. He said he's written about this salvation of the Lord. But it says here, there are some things in them, in Paul's letters, that are hard to understand. So it's not even just the Old Testament that's hard to understand. Sometimes the things in Paul's letters are hard to understand. How many have found that to be true? You read something in 1 Corinthians or something in Galatians or something in Romans and you wonder, what in the world is he talking about? How does that even fit with my life? And so Paul writes things that are hard to understand. And it says, when that's the case, people who are ignorant and unstable, they twist the scriptures to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures. So again, when we find something that's hard to understand, it's easy to twist it, to make it say something it doesn't really say. You know, put it out of context, misapply it, misinterpret it somehow. So when you find things that are hard to understand, I think one thing we can do is say, Lord, maybe this is for another day. You know, sometimes it takes the Lord to open our understanding, just like he did with these guys on the road to Emmaus. It's like I'm reading the word, I'm finding something hard to understand, and all of a sudden, one day I read that same chapter, and it's like a light bulb goes off. What is that? That's the Lord opening our heart to the scripture, and our hearts begin to burn within us. How many have ever had something like that happen to you, where you've just read the Bible, and like the light bulb came on? That's the Lord. He's giving you understanding. He's opening your heart. He's opening your eyes to see. In 2 Timothy 2:15, another thing we can do when we find scriptures that are hard to understand is just this. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. So the word there is called rightly handling. You know, as God's people must be diligent to rightly handle the scriptures. It's easy to take things out of context. It's easy to pull a scripture here or a scripture there. I can open up a scripture today. For example, I can open up a scripture in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7. It says, you should not be married. You know that? But you got to understand the context of that. He said, you shouldn't be married for the present duress. So if you don't really take the time to really understand, well, what's the context? Who's he writing to? What's the story? What's surrounding this scripture? You can take that out of context and just walk around and say, the Bible says you shouldn't get married. And it doesn't actually say that. It says it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. So that's what I mean. It's easy to pull something out of its context and make it say something it doesn't really mean. And so those of us who are teachers, Bible study leaders, husbands leading your families, your children, even those who are just disciples who are discipling other people, be diligent to be a good student of God's word so that you handle it correctly, rightly handling the word of God. Sometimes we you know, when we preach and teach, sometimes what we'll do is we'll think of a great concept. I think, boy, it would be great if people believe this. And then we'll go try to find a story in the Bible that proves our point, rather than just saying, preach the word. You know, the word has its own power. The gospel has its own power. The word of God, if I just stood up here and read the Bible, would be much better than me rambling on, because the Bible has enough to say on its own. Why do we think we can be more eloquent than what the word of God actually says? It's God's word that we want to proclaim. So, rightly handling the word of truth. So I put this next slide up there, if you would, please. What is the Bible? The Bible is actually 66 books. It's not a book. It's 66 books. Think of it like a library. Walking into a library and you see 66 books sitting there on the table. It's a collection. And they were written in three different languages, mostly Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament. There's, I think, some portions of Daniel and maybe another place where there's some Aramaic, but mostly Hebrew and Greek languages. How many of you know the Bible was not written in English? God didn't write it to us in America in English. He wrote it to people in a Hebrew language or in a Greek language. And that's why we have Bible translations. We have to be able to take something that was written in a Hebrew language and somehow, what is it saying to us? So it's important. Do you understand that where it comes from? Three languages. It was written on three different continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, not North America. Africa, Asia, and Europe over a period of 1,500 years. So think about that. When you open up the pages of the Bible, it's important to think about, well, is this Old Testament or New Testament? Who was it written to? When was it written? What was the story behind it? Why was it written? You know, like when you read the book of Jude, why is that written? When you read the book of 1 Timothy, why was it written? It'll give you understanding in how to understand the concept in the book. There's something called genre. No, no, back one. A variety of genres. You guys know what that is? It's a style. So like a genre would be history, law, could be parable, could be wisdom, could be poetry, could be prophecy, different kinds of styles. And so how many of you know if I gave you a book of law, I said, Rose, could you come and read the book of law to us? And I gave April, I said, I'm going to let you to read a book of poetry by Robert Frost. You would look at it differently, wouldn't you? I mean, you would read the book of poetry differently than you read this book of the law. So when you open up and read Leviticus, you need to read it understanding that it's a law. And when you read Psalms, it's like poetry or music. So you read it with an understanding of what it is. When you read the book of Acts, it's history. When you read the stories of Jesus, they're history. It's like a narrative. It's a history of a person's life. When you read the epistles, they're letters. Paul wrote a letter to the Roman church. He wrote a letter to the Corinthian church. He wrote a letter to the Galatians. These are letters, like just like I would send a letter to you for some reason. So understanding that here's Paul who's writing a letter to Timothy. Why? What's he saying? What's the meaning of this letter? What's the purpose of this letter? Now, does that mean because it was written to Timothy that it holds no truth for us? Absolutely not. Every word of God is good for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction. But if we're gonna try to interpret Timothy, we have to understand what it actually is. And then we understand the truth behind it. There were 40 different authors. Let me challenge you to go out and find 40 different people living over a period of 1,500 years with three different languages on three different continents to write 66 books and find a unified common theme. That's really an amazing thing that God has done. People that have written the Bible are shepherds, fishermen, doctors, kings, prophets, various kinds of people. These books are written to people or individuals that live in a certain cultural environment. So you might read things in the Bible that don't make sense because it's something that makes sense in that culture. Like, remember the time when, who was it that sent his servant off to find a wife? And he told him to put his hand under his thigh. Remember that? Put your hand under his thigh. You read that and you think, does God want me to, come here, Ted, I want to make a promise to you. See, we don't go and put our hand under people's thighs, but they did in those days. But if you understand that, you wouldn't pull that scripture out and say, hey, we're making promises. Everybody get up here with your thighs. Or we don't do that when we marry individuals. I'm going to marry my wife. Do you? Yes, I do. Here, there you go. You know, it's just, but it's something that happened in that culture. So when you read it and you understand that, you realize, oh, that's what that is. And you don't get confused by it. And you'll find a lot of things in the Bible that are like that. But there is a common theme. And go to the next slide, please. And if you think about, this is really what the Bible is. In its simplest forms, it is about God being the creator of all, and then the fall of man, the terrible thing that happened when Adam and Eve sinned and death passed upon all people. And all that creation and the fall of man happens in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. And in that time, you see Noah's flood, you see the destruction of mankind, you see the Tower of Babel when God scattered the nations all around because there was just this constant evil thing stirring up in the hearts of people. God desired them to walk with him and be with him and be in his presence and to be holy. And yet there was this constant turning away and rebellion toward him. And when God destroyed the earth with the flood, he made a promise he would never do it again with the flood. But from that point on, there was this thing set in motion to save the nations. And when the nations were scattered, the very next chapter, chapter 12 of Genesis, God calls Abraham and he speaks to him about his plan to bless all the nations through his seed. And that's speaking about Jesus Christ coming. And the rest of the Bible is a historical picture of God's work to redeem the world back to himself. Everything kind of fits into those. That's very simplistic what I'm telling you here. But that's what the Bible's about. It's the story of Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He is the one we sinned against. He is the one who redeems us. The Bible is the story of Jesus and all what he is doing and has done to save mankind, to redeem us back to himself, to put us back into that relationship that he desired from the beginning. I just have a few scriptures here to finish up. All these scriptures I want to share with you now just really show me that the Bible is about Jesus. That's really what it's about. John 5:39, Jesus said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." And again, he's speaking to some Pharisees and people like this who knew the scripture. They studied the scripture, memorized the scripture, taught the scripture. And he said, "You guys think that in these scriptures you have life, but it is they that bear witness about me." See, all these guys and all their studying, all the things they were looking at. And again, remember, we're talking about people who just were digging into the Old Testament. He said, "These scriptures bear witness about me." That's what it's about. And you might ask yourself the question, where is Jesus in all these scriptures? And that's what he showed those guys on the road to Emmaus. And that's what you'll begin to learn if you search the scriptures like I'm talking about and as I encourage you over the next few weeks. To see Jesus in the Word of God. And so he said, "The scriptures bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." Ultimately, that's the purpose of the Word of God. Verse 40, that we would come to Jesus and have life. Search the scriptures. They bear witness about me, that you may come to me, that you may have life. That's that burning that takes place in our hearts. That's what Jesus wants. That's why we study the Bible. That's why we read the Bible. I want to come to Jesus. I want to experience his life. Somehow, on the pages of this book that God has preserved for us through all these centuries, we can see Jesus. You could ask yourself this question as you're reading through any book in the Old Testament. How is Jesus revealed in these scriptures? What does this show about Jesus? What's he like? What does this reveal about God? John 5:46, Jesus said, "If you believe Moses..." Now, when he speaks about Moses, he's talking about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's the book of Moses, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the five books at the beginning. Those are the ones Moses wrote. And Jesus said, "If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me." He said, "I've never seen Jesus in Genesis. I've never seen Jesus in Exodus. I've never seen Jesus in Leviticus. I've never seen Jesus in Numbers or Deuteronomy. But Jesus said, he wrote of me." If you really believe Moses, if you really believe, you're going to believe me. I mean, the byproduct, Jesus thinks that the byproduct of someone knowing the Torah is they would believe Jesus. It leads to that. If you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote of me. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul writes to Timothy, "From a childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings," that's the scriptures, "which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." What's he saying here? He's saying that these sacred scriptures, these writings, and again, this is before we have the New Testament. We're still speaking Old Testament here. You've known these scriptures from the time you're a child. And they will make you wise for salvation, not salvation through the law, salvation that's in Christ. Somehow this Old Testament scripture, this body of teaching or writings or history or whatever it may be, this writing here will lead you to salvation in Christ. So we see the Old Testament as that which is bearing witness to Jesus, pointing to Jesus, and can lead people to salvation in Jesus. You know that in the book of Acts, when they preached the gospel, they were pulling largely from the Old Testament when they stood and shared the gospel with people. Debating with people in the synagogues, proving from the scripture that Jesus is the Christ. What scripture? The Old Testament. Luke 24. Here's some more that Jesus said to the guys on the road to Emmaus. O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All the prophets. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? I mean, Jesus was surprised that these guys who knew the scripture somehow couldn't see the plan of God. Jesus is trying to say here, it's almost like it's self-evident that if you know the scripture, you know the Christ would come, he would suffer, and he would be raised again. But they didn't see it. They couldn't see Jesus in those scriptures. And so it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Man, I'd have given my eye tooth for that. But we have it. We have it here. And then Luke 24:44, my last scripture. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He's still speaking to these two guys on the road to Emmaus. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. See, this is what the scriptures say. That the Christ should suffer, he should be buried, he should rise again, and that repentance should be preached to all nations. When the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, through you all the nations of the world will be blessed, it is pointing to the death of Jesus, and through the death of Jesus all the nations can hear the gospel and be saved. And the point of the scripture is to bring redemption to the whole world, that they can be in its relationship with God that he desired from the very beginning, that we fell out of because of our sin. And so that's what the Bible is about. It's showing that God is our creator, that we, because of our sin, fell out of this relationship, and God, because he loves us and desires that relationship, has paid the extreme price of giving his son to redeem us back to himself, and everything points to that. So that's very high level. I'd like you to stand with me. I have one more slide at the end there. You know, when you look at the Old Testament from the Hebrew Bible, they have the same books, but they're laid out a little differently. And so they have the first five books called the Torah, which is the law. And then they have a section called the prophets, and they break out, you know, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then the minor prophets there. So they're all there. And then they have what's called the writings, which includes some history, the Proverbs, Job, Psalms, some of those kind of things. Same books, but laid out in these three sections. And that's what Jesus said. He said, well, I spoke when I was still with you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and he says the Psalms, which is, you know, the group of the writings. And so Jesus is saying all throughout the scripture, I've been written about. Your eyes have been blinded to it. But I want to open your hearts. I want you to open your eyes so you can see it, that your heart will burn, and you will find yourself understanding and also in the midst of God's plan. Let's all stand together.